Welcome to the weekly live broadcast of Gnostic Radio, a free public service from Telema Press. Each Saturday, Gnostic Radio broadcasts free lectures from the Gnostic tradition of Samael on Vior. Gnosis is the essential wisdom from which all religions have been born. Gnosis is the universal doctrine containing the precise science to free the soul from suffering. Each lecture explores another aspect of this timeless and sacred knowledge. Listeners are encouraged to participate in the live chat session via AOL's instant messaging software, available for free on the web. Simply download and install this software and send a message to Gnostic School in order to be included in the chat session. Participants are able to send in questions about the lecture, which will be answered in the broadcast. Participation is free and completely anonymous. For more information about Gnosis, these lectures, or how to install the AOL software, you can visit the website of Telema Press at www.gnosis-usa.com. Now, with heartfelt wishes for the end of all suffering, we present today's lecture. May all beings be happy.
Now, good morning. Good morning. Today we are arriving at the end of a series of lectures related with the seven churches. But we are just in the beginning of the book of Revelation. Because you know the book of Revelation has like 21 chapters, or 22. Pretty long. And the church of Laodicea, which is that church related with the chakra Sahasrara on the top of our head. It's also called the crown chakra. In order to enter into detail about this, about the meaning of this church as it is written in the book of Revelation, it is necessary to point here the tree of life in order to understand the whole concept which is written there, because many of you already read the meaning of what is written in the Church of Laodicea. Between parentheses, it reminds us Odysseus and the Odyssey, which is related with this lecture. The way in which the initiate travels in the sea of life, guided by Poseidon, or tested by Poseidon, or Neptune, in other words. And the pineal gland is here mentioned because it is the gland where we find the atom of the Holy Spirit, which is the atom that controls the waters. Sexual waters. You know, in endocrinology, we know the relationship of the pineal gland with the sexual glands. But let us now enter into detail with the tree of life, in order to make, we will say, a synthesis related with this lecture. As you see, everybody, I hope all of you have the graphic or the symbol of the Tree of Life that we made. And if you see the man in the right side of this crypt symbol, you find that the three primary forces, or the three supernals, which in Christianity are called Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Keter, Chochmah, Binah, are located precisely on the head of that shade of a human being that you see in the right side. And this is something very significant in order for us to understand that Atziluth is related with the three primary forces, which is called the Holy Triamatzikamno, the Holy Trinity. And it is precisely the head of our organism, that part which is related with heaven. So when you always read about heaven, you had to point physically your head. And related with these three primary forces, Keter, Chochmah, Binah, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we always point that we have three atoms, meaning three spiritual microparts of these three forces, because they are not persons but forces in the universe. We call it the holy affirmation, the holy negation or denying, and the holy conciliation, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, forces which express themselves in the universe, and that in the human being, in the head, are located the Father, Keter, the crowned, between the eyebrows, in the root of our nose, and the Son is located in the pituitary gland, the atom of the Son, and the atom of the Holy Spirit in the pineal gland. So this is how you find your head, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which are represented by the letter Aleph. Remember that the letter Aleph, as you saw it, the symbol in the other lecture, in the other church, is formed by, with three lines. Letter Aleph symbolizes air. And that's why it is located in the head. Remember that the word El is made with two letters, the letter Aleph and the letter Lamed, or El, as we said in English. So Aleph and Lamed makes the word El, which means God in Hebrew. So here you find, because the letter Lamed is really connected, as you see the graphic of the letter Lamed, or the Hebrew alphabet, you see that is the only letter that connects heaven and the earth, even Klipoth, because it goes from the top down into the very bottom, to point that the force of God embraces everything. That's El. But the letter Aleph is formed with the three forces, the three primary forces that we had to place in our head. And we are mentioning this because in the Church of Laodicea, you find the word Amen. And this word Amen is formed with three letters, Hebrew letters, Aleph, Mem, and Nun, that we have to understand and comprehend. In order to understand when we pronounce the word Amen, what are we pronouncing? Because remember that in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's why the Hebrew letters and also the runic letters are letters related with the sacred alphabet, with which we can explain the mysteries of the universe and the human being in nature. So, Aleph is in the head, and this is that breath of God that enters into the nose. And that energy that we call prana, that enters through their nostrils, which is the Aleph, the breath of God, is related with that ganglionic cord called Pingala in Sanskrit. It's called Od in Kabbalah. And in Christianity, we can relate it with Adam. Adam is that word which means a creature made of soil, red soil. So the ganglionic cord that is connected with the Father is that solar light, solar atoms, that is always related with the right side, even though you know that it's coiled around the spinal column. But it's always related with the right side. When we said the right side of God, we always point Pingala. And the left is Ida, with the two witnesses, Ida and Pingala. But Pingala, Ida, is related with the atom of the Holy Spirit in the pineal gland. And that atom connects directly with the organs of procreation. And that's why Ida is called Eve, or the mother of all living beings, which is directly related, I repeat, with the development of the sexual organs. In this case, Eve is whether the sexual organ of the male or the female. But it's always related with the feminine aspect of God, because, as you know, physically here, we have the evidence that the one that creates the man is a woman, 9 months in her womb. So that is Ida, which is the Holy Spirit. But this Holy Spirit is connected, obviously, above in the pineal gland, is masculine, below in the sexual organs, it's feminine. That's why we said the two polarities, masculine and feminine, are related with Adam, the head, and Eve, the sexual organs. Whether in a man, whether in a woman. So there we have the two witnesses called by the book of Revelation, which are the witnesses of God in the earth. On the earth, Ida and Pingala, Od and Ob, Adam and Eve, Yin Yang. These two polarities are represented in many religions, in many philosophies, schools. But then we have the sun in the pituitary gland. And the sun is related with the spinal medulla. In other words, with Sushumna. Sushumna, which is the core where the energy of Kundalini rises, according with Sanskrit. This is how you see that. The three chords, Ida, Pingala, and Sushumna, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So here you find there that really the one that unites the mother with the father is the son. That travels, of course, in the spinal column, the 33 vertebrae, or the 33 years of Master Jesus, the 33 degrees of masonry. Really, most of the books written about the great travelers, conquerors, warriors of the past, those stories are related with the traveling of the sexual energy from the bottom to Laodicea. And Odysseus travels in the sea in order to reach reaching different islands or different, we will say, glands or different chakras to finally returning into his own land where he finds his wife. And it is because the human soul, which is a warrior, represented in this case by Ulysses or Odysseus, also has his seat in the pineal gland. If you see, Descartes stated that the pineal,
Descartes.
This is in Spanish we said Descartes, but it means like discarding something, right? Descartes, philosopher. He stated that the soul, the human soul, his seat is the pineal gland, because really willpower is related with the human willpower in this case, because the divine willpower is between the eyebrows. That's why when we say that we had to put our will under the service of God, then we had to concentrate between the eyebrows, where the will of God is done with his breath. So obviously, this Ulysses, or Odysseus, is the one that has to travel all of those islands in the book of the Odyssey. And being tested by Poseidon, by Neptune, which is in the pineal gland, the atom of the Holy Spirit. So here you find that really in the pineal gland is where we find that power that we call polyvision, which is a kind of intuition with images. The power of traveling, you see, power of traveling or projecting yourself with the soul. When you have an astral projection, for instance, and if you are aware of that unfoldment that you are experiencing when you are falling asleep physically, and then you feel that your astral body is detaching from the physical body through the pores. Like, that's why some people call unfoldment, because it's like separation, like a detachment from the physical body, the astral body. But when you have an experience of samadhi, which is the detachment of the human soul from the physical body, it is done through the pineal gland. You exit the physical body through that door. That's why the pineal gland is called the door of heaven. And there is when you enter and experience the different samadhis. As a soul, because you become united with the mona, the spirit, which is beyond, is in heaven. So, this is why when we talk about the human soul, we have to talk about the consciousness, or human consciousness, and the great work that the human soul, the consciousness, had to do in the body in order to conquer many things and to return to God through the window of the pineal gland and to deliver to him all the treasures or the conquerings that we perform. That is the work of the consciousness. This is what we call the self-realization of the being. That's why the Church of Laodicea is called the Chakra Sahasrara, crown chakra. And crown in Hebrew is Keter. That's why when we talk in different lectures, we said Keter is related with the pineal gland. The Ein Sof is related with the pineal gland. The human soul is related with the pineal gland. Because the monad is related with the pineal gland and all its aspects. And you will reach the seventh, which is Chesed or Gedulah, the spirit. But here, you know, in the Church of Laodicea, we have a beautiful description of this, but we have to understand that the Aleph are the three primary forces that descend from heaven into the physical body through the three atoms that we have in the head. So when we're working here physically, we are working with these three atoms. But remember that these three primary forces also are beyond your head, because they are related with the world of creation, Bria. And of course, the letter Mem, or the word Amen, is located in the sexual organs, because Mem is water. Here, we have to remember that there are three witnesses in heaven. The first is a breath, Aleph. The second is Shin, the fire. And the third is Mem, the water. You see the three letters in Kabbalah, which symbolize air, fire, and water. So Mem, the water, is related, of course, with the waters of creation. And Mem is always related with Mary, Mama, the feminine aspect of God, which I told you is related with the sexual organs. So that Mem, that water, is the ens seminis, is the Mercury that is written in the book of Genesis, that in the beginning the Spirit of God was moving upon the face of the waters. Water is always the feminine aspect that we symbolize in different ways. We call the Akasic Tattva, the Akasa Tattva, which is related with the mother. So the letter Nun of the word Amen is a symbol of the fish. And of course, that fish is the sperm or the ovum that floats on the Mem, on the waters. This fish, this Nun, is symbolized by the Leviathan that creature that lives in the sexual energy that most of us call Satan, Lucifer, which is not just but the fire that we had to conquer. When we liberate that fire, it rises from the chakra Muladhara through the Sushumna canal, all the 33 vertebra, in order to reach Laodicea. This fire is Shin. But this Shin is hidden within Nun, within the sperm, within the ovum. That's why we have to liberate it to the transmutation of the sexual energy. So when you said Amen, you are saying Aleph, united with my waters, liberating the Son of God in my spinal column, the Messiah. It's a whole work. That's why when you finish the work, Amen, you see, is done. But it means done. That the breath of God that entered into your nostrils was working with the Mem in the waters of your sexuality, liberating the Nun, the fire of the sun, in order for you to acquire certain levels. Because in every initiation, you said, Amen, is done. So that's a beautiful, you see, you have to put Aleph in the head, Mem in your sex, and Nun in all the spinal column. That's the sun that unites our physical personality, which is related always with the Mem, with the waters, because everything comes from there, with the supreme immanence of Aleph, the solar father, which is in the head. And that's the whole work. The completion of completion, says, but in different steps. Because here we had to state again that the father in the root of the nose is related with the cerebrum spinal nervous system. And the son in the pituitary gland is related with the grand sympathetic nervous system. And the pineal gland, the Holy Spirit, is related with the parasympathetic or vagus skull. So this is the three lightnings that descend from heaven into earth. I mean, from the head, in other words. As you see, like nervous systems. In order to nourish all the body. And this is precisely the work of the three primary forces. Because the whole thing that we have to do here, the whole self-realization of the being, is synthesized in a duty that we have to perform. That is called the being path dog duty. That being part log duty is a perfect, right transformation of all the impressions that enter into the consciousness. Remember that the consciousness, the human soul, will power is in the pineal gland. But when we're talking about the transformation of impressions, the park dog duty of the being is not just physically, it's septuple. Because the being itself, the human being, has seven bodies. And that we are reaching now to the seventh church, which is related with the seven bodies too, with the seventh body, which is Chesed. The seven bodies are Malkut, Yesod, Hod, Netzah, Tiferet, Geburah, and Chesed. The seven lower Sephiroth. So, to acquire that cosmic duty, which is a right transformation of all impressions, it's a duty that we have to perform from the bottom to the top, beginning with the physical body. And that duty is done with the three primary forces, implies the three factors of the revolution of the consciousness, which are related with the three primary forces, with the three nervous systems, with the three atoms in the head. The whole work that we are explaining here in different lectures, that we are synthesizing here. In order to perform that, to acquire the self-realization of the being, we have to create three bodies, which will be the three vehicles of the three primary forces. Because in order for the Holy Trinity, the Holy Triamatsi Kanno in the head, to give that power unto the soul, he has to incarnate, has to have a vehicle in order to be. And that's why we said it's impossible to perform the padlock duty of the being if we have not created those three bodies. The first body that we create is the body of the sun, which is called the astral body. Kathan. I guess this is how Gurdjieff called it. I don't remember very well. Kathan body. This body is placed in the grand sympathetic nervous system, related with the emotional brain. The body of the sun, which resides in the pituitary gland, and that has an atom in the heart, which is the atom nous, which guides the whole creation of the astral body. That's why we say that when we create the astral body, we experience the birth, all the life of Christ, death, resurrection, and ascension in the internal world, in the astral plane. Because that is related, that body is related with the sun. But after we create the astral body, which is the body or the vehicle of the sun, we have to create the vehicle of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is related with the mind, with all of nature. The mental solar body is that body that we have to create to give us understanding, comprehension. Remember that the Holy Spirit in Kabbalah is Bina, which means understanding, comprehension. And it is precisely that body that will give us that understanding, but also we need to have a body that will be the vehicle of our emotions, superior emotions. And after we create the mental solar body, we have to create the body of the Father, which is the causal body. And that's why that body belongs to the sixth dimension, because the Father is in heaven, in the sixth dimension. And with the causal body, or body of willpower, we learn how to perform the will of God, the will of our own particular keter. And that's why the causal body is related with the human soul, because the human soul is the third part of the monad, which is Chesed. But Chesed is part of the Glorian. And the Glorian are the Holy Trinity. So when we create the causal body, we have the body of the Father. You see? That's why it is necessary to be born again in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven. So when we create the astral and mental and causal body, we said, Amen. We just reach a certain level. We reach the level of human being within which Keter Chochmah Binah can express in certain levels. Here you find why it is necessary to learn the sexual transmutation. Because only with the sexual transmutation is how the Holy Trinity works in order to create. So when we are already with these three solar bodies, obviously the whole human being with the seven vehicles is done. Because we have the physical body with the vital body, and we have above the monad, which works and can start performing the cosmic duty in order to reach the different levels of objective reasoning. Because that is what is a human being. Somebody that worked with objective reasoning. The present type of reasoning that we have is three-dimensional. The mental body that we have is not human, but animal, even though enters into, according to evolution, into the level of intellect, reasoning, which is, we will say, like an opening for us in order to enter into the reality of reasoning. Because subjective reasoning is acquired through evolution. But objective reasoning cannot be attained through evolution. It needs revolution. We need to work with the three factors of the revolution of the consciousness. And this is how, with these three bodies and with the chakra Sahasrara already active in each one of the seven bodies. You see, because the Church of Laodicea, which is the seventh church or chakra, has to be opened in the physical body, in the vital body, in the astral body, in the mental body, in the causal body, in the buddhic body, and in the atmic body. Seven bodies. Because this is precisely the whole human being, septuple. Here we will find the law of Epta, Para, Parshi, Nak, the law of seven that organizes. So a human being is a complete, organized microcosmo. The only thing that we have a microcosmo is the physical body. But we have to create the other part of microcosmo, which is the astral body, the mental body, the causal body. And the other parts are already there, the monad. So then you find that the being part of lock duty is an activity, a cosmic duty that is performed in the true human being. And of course, this duty is developed with the consciousness, in order to acquire the 6 degrees of objective reasoning, any of the 6 degrees. Do not think, as many people think, that the 6 degrees of objective reasoning are related with the different ways in which we reason in this physical plane. Had nothing to do with the three-dimensional way of reasoning. That is subjective reasoning. Objective reasoning is only acquired when we leave the body, when we have experiences out of the body, when we bring from other dimensions, from the monad, the truth of all the truth of the universe. It's coming into my mind. Something that, for the Buddhist, or for Buddhism, will be explainable about this topic that we are talking here. And it's called the lion cub. Did you ever hear that word, lion cub? The lion is the monad, which is already self-realized. It's coming also into my mind because it's called the lion of Judah. Judah is the constellation of Leo. A lion of Judah means a self-realized monad that already acquired any of the levels of objective reasoning. Because there are 6, I said. So that's called a lion. In order for a monad to become a lion, has to reach resurrection. Cosmo-creator. Or self-realized. And the cub of that lion, obviously, is a human soul. So when you say a lion cub, it's a human soul, a bodhisattva, in other words, that understands, you see, understands the mysteries, the truth of God, of the universe, but in his own level. That's why in Buddhism, when somebody has that ability, it's not that he has it. The being is the one that acquired. Even though there are certain bodhisattvas that are fallen because they want to acquire more objective reasoning. But the objective reasoning of the being is never lost. Let's say that you self-realize yourself, you acquire certain objective reasoning. And then, as a human soul, you fail. That objective reasoning is in the being. It's never lost. You lost it. Because of your fall, the downfall. But your being is always there. That's why when somebody enters into these studies, the master says, and he's a fallen bodhisattva, he understands many things ahead. And not because he's special, it's because he's fallen, and because he acquired objective reasoning in the past. And some of those abilities are being sent by the inner being to the human soul in order to understand the truths, mysteries that are written in books or with the universe. So everybody or any self-realized master has his cup, standing or falling, but has his cup. This is a bodhisattva, the human soul. This objective reasoning, understanding of that, is placed in the consciousness. It's not in the intellect. This is how you find, in the beginning of this church, that it's written, I would like you to be called. You see, when you are using your reasoning, this is called, you are called, meaning that way of being. Your intellect, cold, reasoning, knowledge, given by Lucifer. The only one that gives that reasoning is Lucifer, that is called Satan in the Bible. Of course, Lucifer is down there in the sexual organs, and the three primary forces in the head. That's why Satan, Lucifer, each one of us has his own particular individual one. There is no one. There are many Lucifers on earth, as women and men. So, he is represented, or we would say it is represented, because in the Arcanum 15 of the Tarot, Lucifer is androgynous. It's not male, it's not female, it's both. But he is represented always with a trident. That trident represents the three primary forces. So Lucifer acts according to that three primary forces into any individual in order to perform his duty, which is to develop objective reasoning by annihilating the ego. Because God wants to make a human being into his own image. Somebody that understands. And that's why this is how the three primary forces work. That's why Lucifer is the tempter, the tester. The one that has to guide the initiate. If you conquer Lucifer, then you become a human being with objective reasoning. That's the goal. That is symbolized in that book of Jonah in the Bible. The 3 days and three nights in which, that Jonah was in the whale of the, in the belly of the whale. But also symbolized with that symbol of the pumpkin, the gourd, which is the head, acquiring a certain level. It says there that Jonah was a little bit upset because the level that he acquired was not good for him. That's why he was upset. After the whole thing that he'd done and sacrificing humanity, preaching in Nineveh, whatever, and all that symbol, he's disappointed. And it's written there at the end, it says, well, they don't know good and evil as you know. It says in the book of Jonah at the end. How am I going to destroy these people where they don't know good and evil as you know? And even you are not pleased with your objective reasoning. See? This is how when you read certain books in the Bible, you understand the meaning of that. It's in relation with objective reasoning. And this is why initiates fell or descend. They fall or descend according to their own will, because they want to acquire the degree of unclad. So see, unclad is the highest degree that any initiate can acquire of objective reasoning, meaning the way in which we understand and comprehend the abstract, absolute space, the universe. I will give you an example of a being that has that degree of unclad. Jesus of Nazareth, the master of Ramento, he is a degree unclad. It's the highest. Which is says that it's 3 degrees below the Father of all delights, or the Father, the absolute, cosmic, absolute. 3 degrees below. Of course, before the degree unclad, which is related with 6 tridents that appear on the horns on the top of the Sahara chakra. When Moses was coming from the Sinai, he said that he was having 2 horns of light on top of his head. Those horns of light are related with the horns of Lucifer, or the degree of objective reasoning that Lucifer granted to Moses. So in those horns of light, if there are 6 tridents in those horns of light, it means that that individual has the unclad, meaning that he defeated Lucifer in a very difficult way. He has his understanding, so his comprehension is very high. Below unclad is potculad. Potculad is with 5 tridents. Below potculad is ternonald, which is with 4 tridents. And then we have degindad with 3. We don't have the names for the 2 and the 1st. But obviously, when somebody reaches the self-realization of the being, he acquires any of those 6 degrees of objective reasoning. And that is what we call the cold. Obviously, the objective reasoning can be acquired in certain levels by meditating, comprehension. Whether you are going to acquire this or that degree of reasoning, before acquiring that, you have to develop that objective reasoning by meditating, by comprehending yourself. Man, know thyself, and you will know the universe and the gods. So that's the whole thing. Doesn't mean that you are going to acquire objective reasoning by reading a book of the Master Samael on the or at 10 miles per hour. That way you ruin your intellect. In order to acquire objective reasoning or the padlock duty, you have to meditate in which what you read. This is how you develop it. Because the padlock duty or the objective reasoning is not play in the intellect. It's play in the consciousness. That's why the human soul, the consciousness, is called superior manas. Superior mind. It's a mind that knows by intuition. And that's objective reasoning. Later on, you explain that with your intellect, as we are doing here, explaining this knowledge through the intellect. But this knowledge had to be acquired, had to be understood in the consciousness. And this is why the Master says that those that acquire objective reasoning put the intellect to the service of the being. And this is to acquire an illuminated intellect. So I wish you were called, says Christ. And also I wish you will be hot. You will be hot. But that's the other aspect of the pineal gland here. To be hot is to have faith. Because one thing is to have the information of a knowledge. But to have faith means to experience that. So you see, in order to be called, you have to be hot. You have to have experience of what you read. That's why in ancient times, students, they didn't need to know how to read or how to write. In the beginning, it is written that the knowledge was transmitted from mouth to ear. Why? Because the initiates that were doing there, they were awakened. Of course, in this day and age, we said to transmit the knowledge from mouth to ear in this day and age will be impossible. Why? Because we store all of the knowledge in the intellect. And we had to memorize it. Right? But in ancient times, the initiates, they were storing that in their consciousness. When you store the knowledge in your consciousness, you never forget. Never. In my case, for instance, when I'm going to give a lecture, I sit down and speak to myself. And I say, okay, listen to the lecture. And then I start talking. I say, well, I don't understand what you're saying. I'll say, oh, yeah, concentrate. And then zoom comes from the pineal gland. Oh, now I understand. But who is the one that is giving that information? Is the being. Because he knows. And then he's placing it into my consciousness. Now I understand. So when I come and give the lecture, I understand what I'm talking. But not because I have it in the intellect. Because if I memorize what I talk, then, of course, sooner or later, I will be lost. That's why the knowledge that you store in your consciousness, you never forget it. Never. Never, ever you lose the knowledge that is stored in your consciousness or in your spirit. It's there forever. So therefore, behold the necessity of meditating in order to acquire that. Master Samael on the Or, of course, he did the work three times. What degree of reasoning he acquired this time, I don't know. But obviously, he was a lion cap. And that's why it was given. Other masters that appeared at that time with the Master Samael, they were no lion caps. Most of his followers were trying to do the work for the first time. So that's why they committed a lot of mistakes. Because only a lion cap can use intuition, you know. Clairvoyance is related with the chakra Ajna or Philadelphia, Church of Philadelphia. But a clairvoyant without the pineal gland active is like a garden without water. Because intuition waters. That's why it says that the pituitary gland is the light bearer of the pineal gland. A student asked me, so what I had to do if I had to doubt of all my astral experiences, my clairvoyant experiences, what I'm seeing, just develop your pineal gland. If you develop your pineal gland, your intuition will tell you, because God will guide you. That's why it is written that the pituitary gland is the page or light bearer of the pineal gland. Because there we have the power of powers. If you ask me what chakra should I work with, I will tell you the pineal gland. There the ego cannot stay. Because the pineal gland is the seat of God, the seat of the human soul, the pineal gland. From there is precisely when you control your mind, your intellect. Then from that door, the pineal gland, you have your samadhis. It's how your faith is developed. Because everything is there. When you remember yourself, the pressure of that activity is on the pineal gland. Because it's the consciousness. To remember yourself, to practice any mantra in order to develop the pineal gland is the best. Because that's the way in which you develop objective reasoning. That's the way in which you enter into samadhis, experience that which is beyond the mind. Because the pineal gland is that which is beyond the mind. The mind is in relation with the brain. But the pineal gland is only related with the abstract mind, the superior mind, the superior manas. This is how you experience faith. The true faith is something that is beyond the mind. You experience that, you return into your experiences, you meditate, you receive information from your pineal gland, and then you are developing really true knowledge. And then you are developing faith. That's why in the beginning of that church says, I would like you to be cold or hot, but you are not cold. You don't have objective reasoning. You are not hot. You don't have true faith. You just believe. That because you are not hot, you are not cold, you are a lukewarm. To be a lukewarm is to be a fanatic ignoramus. You can be a fanatic ignoramus in Christianity. You can be fanatic ignoramus in Islam, in Judaism, in Buddhism, in Gnosis. Because you can memorize and study all the books of the Master Samael and all the books of other masters, but if you don't experience that, you are really a fanatic ignoramus. Fanaticism means something that is being a fan of something, right? Simple. But we have to be serious. Meditation, that's why we always insist. Meditation is a clue in order to experience, in order to talk with faith, with security about something. But to have knowledge or to memorize books is easy. There are many people there that really surprise us because they memorize the Bible. And they said, according to this verse, this chapter in the Bible, etc., and they repeat exactly with periods and commas. So what? That is not experience, it's just subjective knowledge. And that's why it is written there. This word says the Amen. And the Amen is precisely that. The three primary forces that we have to work with. And that's why it says that door is open. If I knock at that door of Laodicea, and if you open and I enter and to have a dinner with him. That's why it said it's a dinner of light. You see, when the breath of God is knocking at the pineal gland with the Akashic forces, you have to be there. Because if somebody, for instance, is knocking at your door, but you are in the basement, and the knocking of the door is very light. Because this is how God, you know, is Aleph. It's the wind. How are you going to hear that? But if you are there, then you will open the door. But to be there is to be awakened. To remember yourself, because in the pineal gland is the human soul. And then you have to be there. To be there is to be here and now. Because God is omnipresent. That's why it is written, awake. Because you don't know when your Lord is going to come. But the Lord always comes through the pineal gland. And if you are prepared, he sits there on your pineal gland and have a dinner with you. The Lord is fire, is light, that we restore understanding, comprehension, that you acquire your self-realization. That's why when you hear, for instance, in Christianity, that the Lord will come on the clouds. Yeah, but they're not talking about the clouds of heaven. The clouds are the symbol of mystery. And from the clouds come the lightning and the thunder. The thunder is the word of God. That's why when we said, and who is the glorian? Who is Christ? Christ is the lightning, and his word is the thunder that strikes the mind when entering into the pineal gland. And then you're awakened. And then this is how you become hot and cold. Some other meanings will be related with the sexual force, of course. To be hot is to work with alchemy. Because the same ecstasy or the same energy that give you the ecstasy, the samadhi, that give you faith, is the same energy that you work when you are transmuting. The same voluptuousness and chastity, of course, that rises in the spinal column. And to be cold is to be out of sexual magic, to be seated in one corner of your room, concentrated, cold, in your intellect, in your understanding, your comprehension, meditating, analyzing things. Because this is the goal. So when somebody is united, when somebody acquires the union with God through the pineal gland, to the coldness and to the heat, that one acquires the power of powers. Then the chakras, the churches, are just like miserable lightnings, or we will say candles, comparison with that power of the objective reasoning that you have to develop. But you have to fight against the enemies, which are identified with the subjective reasoning. Because remember that we have a lot of subjective reasoning. The way in which we use reason in the animal way. A lot of people have that type of reasoning. But in the self-realization, we want to develop objective reasoning. And that's only acquired when you follow the path of renunciation. Because you can acquire a certain level of objective reasoning by going into the spiral. But when we said about the tridents, the power of objective reasoning of resurrection is only for those that reach the level of renunciation, the direct path. It's not but Pratyeka Buddhas. Pratyeka Buddhas have certain level of objective reasoning, but not the superior objective reasoning that many individuals acquire in the direct path. So now you understand when the masters, when those that are required objective reasoning, many people think, why they fall? If they are already one with God, why do they fall? They fall because they want to acquire more degree. Because only by descending and performing the work again, that reasoning goes up into another degree. So when you reach unclad, you said, oh, I'm good now. Now I want to enter into the absolute with the unclad. But there are many resurrected masters that are in potculad, or ternolad, or deginlad, and they said, no, I don't want to enter into the absolute with this level of reasoning. I want to acquire the highest. And that's why there is, you see, in mythology, the story of the fallen angels. That's the only reason. No ego, yeah, but they want to understand more about their own particular divinity. Because when you acquire objective reasoning, you understand God, you understand the absolute, but in a certain level. And then you realize that you are in a certain level, but when you acquire and you see God within you, you said, oh, my God is very deep. I thought that I was going to understand him in this level, but still I'm seeing that he's very deep. How do I go deeper into my God, into my Ein Sof? Well, you want to go deeper, do the work again. And ask your friend, which is a friend of gold, said the master, Lucifer, can you help me? And Lucifer says, of course I will help you. But I don't know. If you defeat me, okay, but you know how I am. And then they said, okay, I know how you are, but you help me and I will defeat you again. Oh, let's see, we will see. Just do it. Then the angel does it. And Lucifer says, haha, in my hands again. Okay, try. I will give you another trident. But if you don't conquer, you will be down there. There are many fallen angels in hell. Moloch, Belial, Yahweh. And they are just trying to get off from there. I don't know if they will. But that's the meaning of the universe. To acquire comprehension, understanding. Do you have questions?
What's the relationship between the unclad level of objective reasoning and the Paramartha Satya?
With a Paramartha, the question is, what is the relation of unclad, which is the highest degree of reasoning, objective reasoning, with a Paramartha Satya? Obviously, when you become a Paramartha Satya, you become an inhabitant of the Absolute. Within the Absolute, you cannot acquire another degree. You exalt yourself with the same degree that you acquire. But there are Paramartha Satyas that enter there by acquiring this universe, the degree of potculad or ternolad, you see? Meaning that you don't need forcefully to acquire unclad in order to enter into the absolute. What you need is just to acquire a level of objective reasoning. Could be the first, could be the second, could be the sixth. Doesn't matter. But then you enter there as a beginner into the Ein, into the abstract, absolute. And of course, everybody is a beginner. But you know there are certain levels of understanding. When somebody enters into university, for instance, they come from this school, from this college, wherever, different parts. But they have different levels of understanding and comprehension, intelligence. But they are in the same university. Same thing is when you enter into the absolute. If you enter with a degree unclad, well, you have a lot. In order to comprehend and understand more within that Ein, the cosmic father, which is always ahead of you. And of course, that's the goal. And that's why many angels fall in order to acquire that. They know that the light emerges from the darkness, so they went and fall into the abyss in order to acquire more light. And in that, of course, experience, a lot of souls, a lot of monads are involved. You know, the big mess in which we are in this planet Earth right now because of many fallen angels that fell in the beginning in Lemuria. Yep.
Does every initiation of the spinal column finish when reaching the pituitary gland related to the Holy Spirit? Or doesn't the energy have to reach the atom of the Father in the root of the nose, as well as the atom nous in the heart?
Well, the first and the second initiation only reaches the root of the Father in the nose, obviously touching first the pineal gland and the pituitary and descending into the root of the nose. That's the first and the second initiation. Now, the third and the other initiations then descend into the atom nous, because really, in order to reach the atom nous, which is also related with the pituitary gland, because the atom nous is also called the Son of Man in the heart, and is directly related, because the Son in the pituitary gland, the atom of the Son, is there. But his kingdom is in the heart. And that's why in the third initiation, when you are creating the astral body, from here the root of the nose descends into the heart. And that is precisely the beginning of the second birth, the creation of the astral body, or the body of the Son. You are acquiring, developing, of course, certain degree of objective reasoning by acquiring the initiations. Because everybody has, when any initiate, whether from the spiral or from the direct path, has different degrees of objective reasoning within their development. But when we talk about the 6 degrees of the tridents, that's only for resurrection, which is beyond comprehension. And that's why only those that are in that level understand why they descend and want to acquire more. But they are revolutionary walkers of the path. Most of initiates or monads decide to enter into the spiral path, which that doesn't give any degree of the Taurine mysteries. But they acquire certain comprehension.
You mentioned that Master Abramento is 3 degrees below the Father of all lights. But isn't the 6th degree, Anclad, the highest? Are there really more?
The highest degree that any initiate can acquire of comprehension of the cosmic universal Father, which is the absolute. But the cosmic universal Father is 3 degrees above Anclad. And anyone that reaches that, because there are many, it's very rare to find somebody that has that degree of comprehension, Anclad. Very rare. But they are. And I said, Master Jesus is one of them. This is why when the Master Samael Onveor was telling us that in order to comprehend the wisdom of the Master Jesus, at least you have to be resurrected in order to receive the knowledge. Because he has too much wisdom, and nobody in the earth is ready to receive that. He gave only a little bit in order for you to be born again, in order for him to teach you. But he's waiting for everybody there to see, well, I'm still here waiting, right? Samael Onveor is one of his disciples. You know what I mean? He's one of his disciples. The Master says, I descended 3 times, or 4 times, and I went to acquire more degrees. This time, he says, was so painful for me, so I don't want to do it a 4th time. But Jesus did it 7 times. I didn't say that he fell, because you can descend or fall. But the Master Jesus did it 7 times, and he has unclad. But you need a lot of strength in order to do that.
Is there a practical technique to read or listen to something so that it goes directly to the consciousness?
Only meditation. Only meditation. Because what you read has to be comprehended. You see? Has to be understood with the consciousness. When you read it just intellectually, you have a certain degree of understanding. You understand this. But sometimes you said, why is the Master saying this? I don't understand. It is because you don't have that in your consciousness. I'm telling you this in my own experience. I translate the books of the Master. I know the, but in order to understand that sometimes he writes something and says, what he's saying here? In order to relate it to English, I had to know. Then I meditate. Ah, now I know. And then I had to wonder what to write. But if I just translate literally, of course, there are many translations that are literally done. But the meaning, the substance, the core of that is lost. Of course, I'm not saying that everything that I translated is exactly as it is, but at least I do it in my best. But I meditate, even in my lectures, I meditate in what I am talking. I don't just memorize lectures and give them. And sometimes they're coming because it's already in my consciousness. And I don't want to die because sooner or later I will die physically. Everybody's going to die. And I don't want to lose my knowledge. If I put it just in my intellect, I will die and it's lost. I come again in another body, and then what? Well, my goal, of course, is to acquire degrees of objective reasoning. But that's what I think. Above me is my monad. It was said, this is what you think, but you don't know what I'm thinking. And I said, no, I don't know. So that's why I said, who knows? Because the work is done by the Father. We are only the human soul, the vehicle, the serf of the Lord. And that's it.
In Three Mountains, Master Samael mentioned that when the Kundalini reached the crown chakra in one of his initiations, a bell rung throughout the universe. Can you tell us more about this?
Well, I will tell you when you hear that bell, because that is really related with the consciousness. You hear, I mean, let me tell you, when you reach certain levels of degrees of initiation and different initiations, whatever, you see and hear many things. But you have to experience that. What is written there is enough, but those bells, whatever sounds, are related with certain elemental forces, spiritual forces. And those bells or those sounds sound differently in each initiate. Because everybody has a different level. If you are fallen, you have a certain degree of objective reasoning, and you are just have to acquire another one. That's another thing. And you are trying for the first time, your degree of objective reasoning will be the lowest. All depends on your work. The main thing, as I said, is to work with the pineal gland, because there is where is the soul, the Holy Spirit, the monad, everything is being guided from there. If the pineal gland is well developed, then you can understand the different things that you receive from all the other chakras. But remember, there is always warning in the churches, the lower churches. But here the Lord says, well, if you open the door and I sit with you in the cerebral and spinal nervous system, then I will guide you more, because it's what you want. Who is the one that gives this objective reason? It's Christ. Of course, but it's always there, lucky, doing his job. You know who is lucky, right? This is what Wagner called Logos, because he is the shadow of the Logos. Did you understand? Did you follow this? To understand what is to be cold and what is to be hot. Because this is why you have to be understandable. Because most of us are lukewarm. All of the Christians in the world are lukewarm. To find a hot or a cold Christian is very difficult. That's why I said, because you are not hot, you are not cold, I will spew out you of my mouth. Why? Because through the mouth, the word is spoken. And the word is God. You want God to come with you, to enter into you, well, you have to be hot or cold. But if you are lukewarm, just a fanatic that believes in something that is written without understanding, obviously the Lord will not enter there. The Lord needs vehicles, needs understanding, comprehension of that. This is how the Lord uses the bodhisattvas, you see, in order to come and to teach. The Lord will not enter in somebody that has no astral, mental, or causal bodies. How? How is he going to enter? Because the Lord is the Glorian. There are different steps in order to enter, in order to do the work, which is the creation of the cosmos human. He has the cosmic duty that we explain. Okay. So if there is no other question, we finished and we continue with these lectures next Saturday. Thank you very much.
The presentation of this lecture was made possible by donations from listeners like you. Help Telema Press reach more souls. Make a donation by visiting GnosticTeachings.org. For questions and deeper understanding of this lecture, we invite you to participate in the discussion forum available for free on our website. Thank you for your support. May all beings be happy.